All right, welcome back to the Weekend Warrior Podcast. This is episode 34. I am Pat with Mike, as usual. This is our 2017 year in review podcast, and also we'll be looking forward to next year as well. When this comes out, it'll almost be the New Year's. So hopefully you're listening in 2017. Maybe we've even traveled through time and you're listening in 2018. Who knows? You never know. But either way, we have a jam-packed show for you, and stay to the end because we have 5.5 minutes of just absolute glorious throwback montage.
Goosebumps.
Goosebumps. Mm. Nonstop. You're probably going to want to be sitting down when you're listening. So, anyways, let's get started. Right, so really kind of want to talk about the biggest news stories of the year, biggest sports stories at least of the year, and really kind of focus in the Boston area, obviously, but I think the biggest one for me, and I know we disagree about the biggest one, but I think certainly one of the biggest ones happened all the way back in last February, and it was Super Bowl 51. Mm-hmm. I mean, holy shit, that game, that game's one of the best and one of the best NFL games ever played in the history of the sport.
Yeah, one of the best Super Bowls.
Definitely one of the best Super Bowls. Right, the first one to go to overtime, mm-hmm. and I mean, shit, if you ask Barstool, just Barstool, like they'll tell you they made a shitload of money off of that one. So they'll make the. Actually, I'm looking at my Christmas tree right now, and I got the 34-28 Super Bowl ornament hanging on my tree right now. So. They've made a shitload of money off it, as have many other people, just like WTP Sports and everyone else. You know, people made a lot of money off of that one, but it's a memorable Super Bowl. It's one of those where it's like, you'll always remember it, right? And it's not just Patriots fans. The Saints played the Falcons last weekend. Did you see this? The Saints played the Falcons last weekend, and they had their halftime celebration. There was like marching band or something like that, and they spelled out 28-3 in the field. Jesus. It's just unbelievable. I mean, because they're just trolling Falcons fans, so they're not even Patriots fans, but you know, they're a rival of the Falcons, so they troll the Falcons to say you were up 25 in the Super Bowl and lost. And that just never goes away. I mean, that stink.
That's gonna be there forever.
It never goes away. I mean, look.
Especially who you lost that lead to.
Ugh.
We're the worst fan base you could ever do anything like that against. Because you're gonna hear about that 100 years from now. We're like the Yankees now with the Red Sox.
Right. Oh yeah, you'll never forget that. They'll never live that down.
It's like 1918. You know?
Oh god. Yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, it's true, and it's funny because it's almost like, you know, my dad has gone to a few Bills games, and you know, the Bills fans are notoriously crazy when they drink and stuff, and they'll be, you know, they're shitting on people and, oh yeah, your team, blah, 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 this is the year and this and that, and every time they talk, you know, and they can say whatever they want, and all you gotta do is two words, wide right, and that's it. You say that and it's like, god, like the whole everybody there just shuts up. And it's the same thing, dude. For a Falcons fan, no matter who it is that you're talking to, you could talk as much shit as you want, and all they gotta say is 28-3, and that's it. And you're like, fuck. Like, that's it. What are you going to say? There's nothing you can say back. There's no comeback ever you can say. I know the Patriots went 18-0 and lost in the Super Bowl, and it was terrible, and it was awful, and it was horrifying. It's one of the worst losses in the history of the NFL.
Horrifying.
It was horrifying. For me, it was a horrifying experience. It really was. Still scars me and many Patriots fans. But they've won 2 Super Bowls since then. Maybe if the Falcons... I mean, maybe... You never know. The Falcons won a few Super Bowls, and maybe it deadens it a little bit, but... Holy shit, it's pretty friggin' bad. So anyways, that's for the anything you want to add about 51?
I think we've covered everything with that game in the show.
We certainly have. We certainly have, I would say. So we can go to your number one thing, which is the anthem protests.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was the number one sports story of the year. I think maybe, you know, you may not be too far off there.
I think it's the biggest sports story of the decade.
It might be.
As far as, like, sports and, like, social, you know, things going on.
Well, it's true because, you know, it's really kind of a situation where it's not just that ESPN was talking about it or, you know, whoever else was talking about it. It's also that CNN was talking about it and Fox News was talking about it and everybody was talking about it. And not only that, but everybody was on a different side of it.
Right.
Right? And everybody that was on different sides felt like you're an idiot if you're on the wrong side. Like, if you're on the side that doesn't agree with me, you're a moron and this is why. And, you know, well, no, you're a moron, and here's why. And it's just like, it was maddening. And what it did really well is show how split the country is.
Oh, yeah.
And we just, nobody agrees with anybody. Nobody gets along with anybody. And it's really kind of frustrating when you look at it.
Oh, it's totally frustrating because it's like, you know, I have every right to protest. You have every right to criticize my protest. Right. So there you go.
Right.
You
know? Well, and that's the thing.
That's all there is to it.
Right. And that's the thing. And I understand all that. I mean, and it's true, right? That's the American way, is I can protest and you can complain about it. And that's fine. The problem that we have, I think, is that no one can empathize with the other side at all.
Right.
Nobody can say, okay, I understand why you're upset about the protest, but here's why I think the protest is okay. Or maybe they try to say that, and the other side says, la, 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 I don't want to listen. Like, you know, so, and the other side maybe says the same thing. Like, I understand why you're protesting, but here's why we disagree about your protesting. And so it's difficult. It's a difficult situation. And what really sucks for me, and I look at it, and, I'm not a veteran. I'm not – never served in the military, nothing like that, right? But I just – to me – When people sit there and say you're disrespecting the military and you're shitting on everything they did, well, it's like, who the hell are you to say that?
Yeah.
Are you in the military? Are right. you a veteran? Like, people were saying that, and I'm like, you're not even in the military. Like, now, if you're in the military and you feel strongly about that, then that's absolutely fine, and I respect that 100%. But if you're some schmuck that's never been in the military and has no family in the military or whatever – like, how are you going to say that? You don't know. I know plenty of people that are in the military currently or are veterans that were totally fine with the protest and supported it. And so it's like, how are you going to sit there and say that you're disrespecting the veterans by doing it when some of the veterans agree with
and,
it?
In my opinion, like, I just don't think the flag just solely represents the military. I think the flag represents, you know, everything that's good in our country and, like, the base of our country. But, yeah, I mean, it's just... Kaepernick, he still doesn't have a job, so it's...
No, and you know what? And look, I think the Kaepernick part of it, I'm not a huge Kaepernick fan. I don't know... You know, the Kaepernick... It's interesting because I support the protesters 100%.
Yeah.
But I also am not a huge Kaepernick guy either. So it's just kind of funny where I'm on the fence about it a little bit because I kind of see one side of it and I also see the other side of it. And I just think Kaepernick... In general, I'm just not a huge fan. I don't know if when he started doing it, he really understood what he was doing.
I would kind of agree with that.
You know what I mean? I don't know if he was trying to really enact social change as much as he was necessarily trying to draw attention to himself because he was upset about the situation in San Francisco and he thought, well, this will be a good way to do that. Yeah. And now all the stuff he's done afterwards, like, that's fine. And he's donated a ton of time and he's donated a ton of money and he's really spent a lot of time, you know, giving time and resources to stuff.
He's done nothing but positive things,
which is true. Yeah, afterwards he has, for sure. Yeah. You know, and he wore the pig, you know, the pig cop socks and it was like, what are you doing, guy? And like, so it's tough because you see those small decisions and they impact what people think of you, right? Because he wore those, it's like, well, he hates cops. Well, not really. He was just an idiot and wore those socks like a freaking moron. But that doesn't mean like he's always had negative interactions with police or he said negative things about it. So it's difficult. It's a difficult situation. And what it's hard to do is people want to draw a line in the sand and say either you agree or you disagree. And I don't think it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's that simple where you say you have to agree. Well, like, I didn't necessarily agree with the protests. I didn't think it was great, but I also respect it. Like I say, you can, but I didn't necessarily agree with it. I'm not sitting there saying you should be doing it. I wish they had stood, but like at the same time, I understand they can take a knee. That's their right. Like they can do that. And I thought it was peaceful. I thought that they were trying to do the right thing and they weren't, you know. And the whole Kaepernick, again, the Kaepernick thing, right? He was sitting down and Nate Boyer came to him, again, former Navy SEAL, came to him and said, look, I think it'd be more respectful if you took a knee instead of sitting down.
Yeah.
Well, he said, okay, I'll take a knee instead. And so, you know, a lot of guys took knees. Now, Michael Bennett did not. So, whatever, say what you want about Michael Bennett. But, you know, Marshawn Lynch didn't either. So, it's like, you know, you can look at some of those guys and say, okay, well, how come everyone's kneeling but you're sitting? Like, what's going on? You know what I mean? So, but who knows? People have the right to kind of do what they want and whatnot, but... Yeah, it was a. I mean, I think you're probably right about that. It was a massive sports story.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest one in the decade, maybe outside of Deflategate. oh God, that was a nightmare.
That's one of the biggest news stories of the year too, Deflategate.
Somehow.
It's the hangover.
3 years later. 3 years later, it's still a big story. So, and it is. It's fucking ridiculous. Anyways, so let's move on. We'll move on to something else. Perhaps the Jimmy G trade, which I think has been talked about incessantly and should be. And he's now winning at an alarming pace in San Francisco.
Yep.
Just beat Jacksonville this week. They had no business beating Jacksonville. Jacksonville's defense was number one in the NFL in many statistical categories. And they beat the shit out of Jacksonville, scored a ton of points against them, and beat them in a shootout. Who the hell saw that one coming? And Jimmy's just kind of been proven a winner. And you know, people are questioning, and I think rightfully so, the timing of the trade by the Patriots. I mean,
terrible.
I think so, too.
I think it's the worst move they've ever made in the Belichick era.
It might be. It certainly might be. You know, and it's interesting. I was actually talking to Evan, who's been on the show before, about it at Christmas.
Cousin Evan?
Cousin Evan. Yep. He's been on the show before, and we're at Christmas together, and we were talking about it, and he said, look, my opinion of it is that they had a strict policy where they did not want him in the AFC. So he wasn't going to the Browns no matter what. The Browns could have offered 4 first-round picks, to quote Adam Schefter, I think that was.
Mm-hmm.
The Browns could have offered 4 first-round picks. They weren't trading to the Browns because they thought, and they knew maybe, that he was going to be legit. And if that's the case, you don't trade him in the conference because you got to get through him to get to the Super Bowl.
But wouldn't the case be not to trade him at all? Shouldn't that be the logical thing to do?
Yes.
That's what I don't get. And they're usually spot on the roster moves that they make. I just think they really botch this.
Well, so here's the problem, right? And this is the situation. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place because either you have to trade Jimmy or you have to trade Brady. There is no either or. You can't keep both. There's no way to do it. You can't do them both. So you have to trade Brady or Jimmy. And I think in that situation, you have no choice but to trade Jimmy G. Because you know what you're getting from Brady. You know what you're getting in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl down 10 or 19. You know what you're getting. You don't know what you're getting in that press situation with Jimmy G. You think you do, but you don't. So you're trading the future, and I understand it's the future. I understand it could be a great future, but you're trading that future for the next 3 to 4 years where you think you're going to be able to compete for a championship every single one of those years. And I think you can't leave championships on the table. If you really think that you can win the championship and Brady is the key to that, which I think he is, and I think everyone would agree to that, then you can't trade him. And so then it's like, well, now we can't trade Brady. So then we have to trade Jimmy because otherwise he walks and we get nothing for him. And so, you know, that's the real issue, is that I think they had to trade him. And I really think they should have done it in the offseason. I think they could have gotten more, or at the very least, what I think is that they should have done is waited until this offseason, franchised him, and then seen what they could have gotten. The only question I have about that is that, okay, if you had done that, what if no one takes him? Or what if someone says, well, no, screw it. Like, we're not going to get in a bidding war for him. Like, we're going to offer you a third-round pick for him. Well, now you're stuck. You got no choice because you can't pay him the $20-something million a year on the franchise tag. So now you have to trade him. And so they didn't want to back themselves into a corner. But see, I don't know, because I feel like maybe that's not the case. They did trade Brissett at the beginning of the year,
which I think was a mistake too.
I think it was a mistake because they had him for a few more years. I think you could have seen if he was going to be the guy. Now, what I think happened is that they looked at it and said, he's never going to be the guy, right? He's never going to be the guy, right? Now, maybe he'll be good, but he'll never be the guy. So they said, well, screw it. We'll trade him and we'll try to get, you know, Philip Dorsett, and who actually, when Cousin Evan was on, we talked about how he was like the biggest bust ever, which is interesting. We fully traded for him. And he hasn't done much here, to be honest with you either. So, but, you know, you look at it and just say, all right, maybe that's why they made that move, was because they felt like he wasn't the guy and they wanted a guy who they thought, you know, would be a good player in Dorsett, who really hasn't panned out here either. And Brissett, I mean, Jesus Christ, thank God the Colts got Brissett, because otherwise they'd be screwed. You know, and so, not that they're doing well right now, but I mean, you know, but like he's...
4 wins?
Yeah, no, they're not very good. But I mean, they might have 0 wins if it wasn't for Jacoby Brissett. So, you know, it's an interesting situation. I think you're right. I think it was a mistake. I really do. But again, I think they made the right decision in the fact that they traded Jimmy. I think you had no choice
right.
but to trade him.
But I just think, I mean, what would you rather have? Like 10 years of a guy that you've developed, or just like 3 to 4 years of Brady? And if you ask me, I think next year would be his last year. Brady.
I don't think so.
He's taking a beating this year. He can't do it much longer. I really don't think he can.
Oh, I understand that. I just think there's no way the Patriots trade him.
No, that's why this is a PR move more than anything, more than a team move.
Well, I think
you can't imagine the backlash if they trade Brady. This isn't like trading Bledsoe. I mean, you know, people don't remember that Bledsoe was pretty popular in this area.
He was very popular,
and I remember there, like we've talked about it, there was the debate, you know, Bledsoe or Brady, you know, and when he was ready to come back, you know, people still wanted him to.
For sure. I mean, shit, he won the AFC Championship game, and then there were questions about whether
he would start the Super Bowl.
He should still start the Super Bowl, and Belichick was like, no, Brady's starting. And obviously it turned out that was the right move, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it does kind of call into question, like, you know, who's making that decision? The problem is that if you look at it and really say, we think we have a chance to win the Super Bowl now, and Jimmy's not ready, maybe he's good. Maybe he's a good player. Maybe he's a very good player. But he's not an elite quarterback right now. And our window is these 3 to 4 years. And that's what we need. And so, look, maybe if you're right and Brady starts a steep decline next year and really doesn't play well next year, and, you know, they struggle because of it, or even in 2 years – if they struggle because of it, and Jimmy turns out, you know, that he's a top 5 quarterback in the NFL in 2 years, then they fucked it up for sure.
Which I think that's what's going to happen. And I think Garoppolo is going to be a top 5 quarterback in those 3 to 4 years.
And he could be. He might be. Mm-hmm. But, you know, again, I think what they said, they looked at it and said, we know what we have in Brady. We know the window these next 3 to 4 years. We're taking it. We're taking our shot with Brady. And look, I mean, you know, you can. I guess hate on people, you know, from both sides of it, right? Because Belichick's always been good about getting rid of a guy a year too early as opposed to a year too late.
Right.
Everywhere but the quarterback, right? You can't get rid of the quarterback.
The guys he's getting rid of, they've spent quite a few years here.
Right.
You know, they weren't being developed to be.
No, it's true. It is true. And it's tough. I mean, it's a challenging question about whether they did it right or not. And we'll see. I mean, only time will tell. Maybe Jimmy G falls back next year, right? Maybe they get a tape on him, and then they start to say, okay, well, we got some film on him, and we think that these are his tendencies, and maybe he doesn't do these things very well, and who knows? Now, maybe that's not the case. I don't know. I know that everyone here loved him, and everyone here is rooting for him still. Mm-hmm. And so that, to me, tells me, well, he's a great teammate. Everyone liked him. I met him in the offseason after practice once, and he was super nice to me and to my girls. And just really kind of went out of his way to be nice to us, which he didn't have to do. And so he just seems like that type of guy. And everyone that's interacted with him kind of has that same feeling. But again, the question is, you know, will he become that elite quarterback in the next year or two? Because I think the Patriots looked at it and said, okay, well, that's our window, right? We have the greatest tight end in the history of the NFL right now. And, he, you know, who knows when he's going to hit his peak, and he might fall off. You never know. We have Brady. We have Edelman. Now Edelman's hurt. We have Hightower's hurt. But you have these players, and you say, okay, we think we can make our run in the next few years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so then can Garoppolo be the leader of that? And obviously the Patriots felt that he couldn't. And again, time will prove them right or wrong is what will happen. You know, time will prove them right or wrong, and we'll see what happens. But shoot, I mean, right now, it's not looking good. Looking good right now. I mean, shit, when they traded him, they had, like, the number 34 pick. Now it's down to, like, 40. Because he won't stop fucking winning.
Yeah.
And so, you know.
But do you think, how much of the trade do you think has to do with Kraft wanting to sell the Patriots when Brady's done?
Sell the Patriots? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Like burn it down to the ground.
No, dude. No way. No chance that happens.
So all three of them leave, Kraft, Brady, and Belichick at the same time?
That would be insane. That would be a nightmare. That would be like, damn, we'd be the team moving to London, not Jacksonville. Yeah. That would be awful. No, yeah. I can't imagine that happening because Kraft and his son, too. It'd be one thing if it was just Robert and he said, all right, you know, I'm done. I've owned the team for long enough. Jonathan's not going to let that happen, I don't think. And so I think Kraft will be running this team pretty much forever.
Think so?
I hope so, yeah. Because things weren't great before they came, and things have been really good since they've been here. So let's just pray that that's the case. So, so moving on, I think maybe we talk about Red Sox, mm-hmm. kind of this whole Red Sox. First of all, the firing John Farrell,
good move. A couple years too late,
you know. And yeah, I mean, he won a World Series.
Yeah.
But again, I mean, it never...
he didn't win anything. Well, that's the thing, right?
It never felt like he was the guy. And maybe that's the media, maybe whatever, I don't know. But it just never felt like he was the guy that was in charge there. Francona always felt like he was on top of things. Farrell, the in-game management stuff was brutal. You know, and you always talk about, what was that, Game 3 that they lost in the World Series?
Yeah.
Where he totally screwed things up and, like, you know, wouldn't... Who wasn't on the bench? Napoli was on the bench, and he wouldn't pinch hit for the pitcher.
He hit Brandon Workman instead.
And then Workman didn't even come out to start the next inning. It was like, what the fuck are you doing, you idiot? You know? And so it's just like, you know, you look at some of that stuff, and you're like, do you have a brain? Like, what are you doing? And there have been lots of situations like that. And look, they said they wanted to be aggressive on the base pass last year, and they were. They ran into the most outs in baseball last year. And so it's like...
Isn't like over 80 or something?
It just, it was ridiculous. And it's just one of those things where... It's interesting, but Moneyball talks about how the most important thing is an out. You never, ever, ever, ever want to give an out. You only get 27 of them, mm-hmm. so you never want to give up an out easily. And so, you know, what the hell are you doing running into extra outs? It's just stupid.
That's Dombrowski. Dombrowski's an old school.
Yeah, so maybe. Maybe that has...
It's been around a lot longer. Dombrowski's... It's not like, you know... A Theo or even a Charrington.
No, well, he's the next one. I think he's the next one to go. I think, and it's a little spoiler alert here, we're going to be talking about what we think is going to happen in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, Dombrowski may be the next one out the door, especially if he doesn't get JD Martinez in here. Their offseason so far has been lackluster at best.
Yeah.
They let Stanton go to New York for nothing, which sucked. So now Stanton, they have fucking...
Yeah, but... Jeter wasn't gonna. Well,
you're right, and you're right about that.
To the Red Sox.
Well, it's true, right? And that's very true. And that's one thing that gets overlooked by people is that, you know, Jeter was never trading him here, and that's true.
Mm-hmm.
However, it still sucks that he's on the fucking Yankees, and now it's Sanchez, Judge, and Stanton all together. Like, that's ridiculous.
And they re-signed Moreland, which I'm not a Mitch Moreland guy. Where you could have signed Carlos Santana. I know he's a little bit more money, but.
Yeah,
I like Santana, and it all goes back to them screwing up Encarnacion. I thought that was a no brainer, and they really messed that up last year.
Well, not only that, but Encarnacion sat on the market forever.
Yeah, and he signed with Cleveland for cheap money. Wicked late
by Cleveland for cheap money. Yep. You could have gotten him for pennies on the dollar. Mm-hmm. He wanted to come here because of the whole Ortiz thing, he was basically going to be the guy to replace David Ortiz. It was an absolute no-brainer, and somehow they looked at it and said, nah, we're good. It's just like, what are you talking about? The guy hit like 40-something home runs last year.
Mm-hmm.
He would have been a monster at Fenway. And so, you know, they're just, and you look back in time and you know, all the mistakes they made with the Lester mistake, and I think the David Price overreaction, and, you know, there's been so many of them where you're like, what the hell? And then, you know... This year's been bad for the Red Sox because you got Henry Owens, who they just freaking released.
Yeah.
And you look at it and just say, shit, man. Like, Henry Owens. There's a guy who was, like, the number one prospect in baseball at one point who they literally wouldn't trade for anybody. They could have said, trade Henry Owens for anybody, and they would have said no.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy got flat-out released by the Red Sox this year. And so you start to look at it and you hear that name, Henry Owens, you're like, oh, God, like I remember 6 years ago when he was supposed to be the next freaking better than John Lester, you know, or the next Tim Lincecum he was going to be. And you're like, he sucks. He sucks so much they didn't even trade him. They just flat out released him. And, oh, God. And so, you know, again, it just, it brings you back to the mistakes they've made in the past. And, I mean, sometimes it's not a mistake to trade, you know, not that, it's tough because Sherrington didn't trade any of his big prospects, and a lot of them turned out to be really good, like Mookie and Benintendi and Bradley and Bogarts and Betts and all that. So, fine, I may get that. But at the same time, it's like, then there are others where you're like, God damn it, Henry Owens. So, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting next year, because next year you have Kimbrel and Porcello both coming up as free agents too. So, no, not Porcello.
Sale?
No, the other one, the other one, Pomerantz.
Oh, let them both go.
So maybe, but Kimbrel was pretty damn good.
No, he is, but in the lifespan of a closer,
that's true. Isn't that's a good point. It's a good point, except for Rivera, who is the exception that proves the rule. You know,
right? But he didn't throw 100 miles per hour with a really weird.
That's a good point.
Windup.
So. Good point. It's true. So, anyways, and then we talk about. I guess we'll talk about the Bruins. Bruins. Yeah,
we'll make that quick.
Yeah, we will. We will. The Tuukka Toll thing was interesting with him getting benched. It's just, yeah.
How about them firing Claude the day of the Patriots?
Oh, that was super surprising. Mm. Everyone was really surprised about that one.
Has anything been more Bruins in the last 10 years?
Yeah, you just like, come on, Bruins. Like,
Harry still running the show there?
Get your shit together. And it's just like, and what they thought they were going to sneak it by. And you don't sneak anything by now. It's a 24-hour news market. Mm-hmm. You don't sneak. I mean, you could release news at midnight on a Friday. It's getting out there. When you wake up on Saturday, everyone's going to know. Yeah. It's just like, it's the first thing that's going to be on your phone. People get the alerts on their phone. So they wake up, they look at their phone to see what the time is, and it says John Farrell fired. And you're like, what the hell was that? So it's just, you know, you can't sneak anything by people right now. It's just, that's the way it is. And so it's like, you know, figure it out. And that, you know, whatever. But you're right. Very Bruins. They made the playoffs again last year. They swept in the first round.
No, they...
No, they didn't. No.
That series went six.
Right. You're right.
I think.
So, was it six?
Yeah, it was six. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't go to a seventh game.
So, but anyways, but it's, you know, either way, losing the first round, you know, Cassidy I like, and the young kids I think are really the story here.
Yeah.
You get McAvoy, DeBrusque is playing better. You know, Carlo seems to be playing pretty well again this year, so he seems like he's doing okay.
They're going to get that JFK kid called up.
Right, so he's going to come back up. And it looks like some of the guys they have in their pipeline are actually going to be pretty good. Anders Bjork looks pretty good. So, you know, you have some guys coming that look like they're pretty solid. And then you have Tuukka behind them. And it's interesting because we talked about Tuukka on here a while ago, and I said we should have traded him years ago. I really do believe that. Mm-hmm. I think Tuukka's been playing really well since they benched him for Hudobin. I think that kind of kicked him in the ass a little bit to be like, dude, get your head out of your ass. Like, let's go. Like, what are you doing right now? So
yeah.
I think he's played significantly better than that since that happened. But, you know, I mean, it's never a good look when your backup goes in and wins a shitload of games in a row and you're sitting on the bench.
It's happened before to Tuukka.
You know, and it has. It certainly has. You know, and at that point, that was one of the best runs ever, you know, by Tim Thomas. But. Yeah. At this juncture, it's like, dude, you're the starter. Like, there's no question about that. You're the starter. You cannot let somebody else walk in and take your job, which is basically what happened and what he allowed Hudobin to do. Mm-hmm. And Hudobin deserved to play. I mean, he really did. He was playing great, and the team was playing great in front of him. And I think, again, I think it really kicked Tuukka in the ass a little bit to be like, get your head out of your ass, buddy. This is a good team. This is a better team than we expected them to be. I think they are a better team than a lot of people expected them to be. And so, you know, Pasta's playing well. And that line with, you know, Pasta, Marchand, and Bergeron is legit.
Yeah.
That's a legit line. And you have a legit number one defenseman in McAvoy who's really come along this year faster than anybody thought. And so, you know, again, it's about the kids, really. And if Tuukka can stand on his head a little bit, shoot, I mean, they might make a run. Now, I don't think they're going to win the cup this year.
No.
That's a stretch. But, you know, you can win a few series here, you know, and get kind of far.
At least one, you know.
Right. And I think Cassie's a pretty good coach. And so, you know, I think they're okay for the future. I question, you know, what Tuukka's going to be like long term. But, you know, if he's the answer long term. But who knows? We'll see
what happens. He's got, what, like 3 or 4 years left.
He's got his 3 or 4 years left on his deal, I think. So yeah, he's gonna be in town for a while.
Yeah.
So, and then so the Patriots, just to go back to the Patriots quickly before we get to the Celtics, they did then trade for Brandon Cooks in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Right. They had the whole Marty B thing, which is crazy. The Martellus Bennett thing, getting cut by Green Bay after being hurt but not being hurt, and then saying he wasn't going to play, he was going to retire, and then he said he wasn't going to play, and then he comes to the New England and he goes on IR but for a different injury. It's just like crazy. So, and then you get the James Harrison situation, and we'll talk about that. It's actually interesting. WTP Sports actually broke that story on Twitter. How about that?
Really?
They were the first one to get that information, which is pretty crazy.
The airport, or that he signed?
No, that he signed with the Patriots. They were the first ones. We were the first ones to say it. And my blog was the one that was put into the release. Basically, they released it, and they had a blog. As soon as he was spotted at the airport, I started writing my blog. I was like, oh, screw it. I'm just going to start writing it.
Yeah.
And then Joe called me and said, I have some information and I'm thinking about doing it. And I'm like, well, I was working on a blog already. And he's like, well, finish it and I'll send off the tweet and I'll include your blog with it. And we broke the news. Pretty crazy. So I think the Harrison situation is interesting. I mean, some of the shit that he said about the team in the past has been a little crazy.
The Patriots?
Oh, my God. Really? Some of the shit that he said, oh, it's bad. It's really bad. Like how we're cheaters and how he hates... How Bruschi sucks and Harrison's a dirty player. And I mean, it's like bad stuff. Like he hates the Patriots. And I think what happened this year is that, you know, and what people aren't talking about enough, and I think the Steelers, you know, bitching and moaning about it is just kind of, it's just hilarious, I think. But he kind of shot his way out of town in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And came here and people embraced him only because, simply just for the fact that they want to see him come in and do well against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. That's it. That's the only reason why people want him here, is they want him to get like 4 sacks against Pittsburgh in the AFC Championship game. And literally, he could never play another game ever. People would love it just for that. You know, he has a history of domestic violence. That was almost 10 years ago. But even still domestic violence.
So somewhere not, Christian Peter is
right? I mean, pissed, right? But yeah. Myra's not around anymore, so... Yeah. But, you know, but again, it's one of those things, man. He is an absolute freak. He's a maniac.
Yeah, I was watching some of his weightlifting
videos. Dude, it's crazy. It's the insane. Hip thrusting things. And yeah. It's wild. Some of the stuff he does, you're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? But he's a monster. And so, but again, the question is, how much does he have left? He's 39 years old. By the way, the Patriots now have the oldest player on offense and the oldest player on defense in the NFL.
Wow.
The oldest player on special teams in the NFL is
Adam Vinatieri,
former Patriot. So, so it's just kind of funny, but either way, but it, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, I don't know if he's going to be a big contributor. I think he can help on third down. He doesn't really fit into what they do base defensively wise. He just doesn't really fit into that.
Yeah.
So he's not like a set the edge kind of guy. That's not what he does, and that's okay. If you brought in a pass rushing specialist, that's fine with me. The guy can get after the passer and do some big things out there. Great. Like, we need help with it. You know, Trey Flowers is good, but he needs help.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think him and Flowers and Adam Butler in the middle has done a good job at supplying some pressure. Malcolm Brown had a big sack last week. So, you know, they can get some pressure on teams. They got, I think, 38 sacks this year. So they've sacked the quarterback, not a ton, but they've sacked the quarterback this year. So, I mean, we'll see. You never know. But I think he can help a little bit. I think if anyone's expecting him to be like a starter and play a ton, like, you no. Yeah. Like, pump the brakes a little bit. Yeah, he can help every now and again. He might have a sack or two. You never know. And it's possible he comes up with a big play, right? I mean, the Steelers played the one game he played the most in. I can't think of the game of who it was against. But it was a... You know, it was a fairly big game. I think it was a Monday night game. And he had, like, a big game-changing sack in that game.
Yeah.
And so, again, it's just, you know, maybe he makes a big play at a big moment. You never know.
Yeah, he still has some left in the tank.
Yeah. So, we'll see. But either way, I thought those two situations were interesting because they were kind of very similar. The Bennett thing, again, what a douchey move. And Harrison, same way. I mean, Harrison shot his way out of town, was pissed. And they were telling stories about how he was snoring.
Yeah, I heard that.
Oh, my God. I mean, what a dickhead. to be doing something like that, honestly. I but think
Bennett is worse because it's as soon as Rodgers goes down, he's just like,
yeah. Well, he quit for a different reason, right? He quit because he was playing, but his team sucked.
Yeah.
And, you know, Harrison quit because he was pissed that he wasn't playing. And look, I don't necessarily blame him. If you sign with the team and they say, we're going to use you and you're going to play, and that's why he signed there, well, then that's what you expect. And then if you come into the season and they're like, you know, we're going to find a role for you. Well, it's like, okay, well, fine, great. You're going to find a role for me. And then he doesn't play. And then it's like, well, are you going to play me or not? Oh, no, no, no. We're definitely going to play you. Don't worry about it. Like, that's the thing is that don't freaking lie to the guy. You know, like, tell him the truth. I would just
let him play because he's insane and I'm going to get killed.
Well, that's true. That's a good point. But at the same time, it's like, you know, that's one way to approach it. But at the other side of it is like, just tell him the truth. Just be honest with him. And just say, look, you know, right now, you're not where we're going. We're going to youth movement. So we want you to be a leader in the clubhouse, right, in the locker room. That's what we want from you. That's what we need from you. Can you do that?
Yeah.
And then just be honest with him. And then he says either yes or no. And if he says no, then you say, fine, see you later, thanks. Like, you know, it's not that difficult. You don't have to lie to the guy. Just be honest with him. You know, and that's the big thing is you keep stringing him along and stringing him. Like, what do you think is going to happen? If you keep telling him he's going to play and he doesn't play, what the hell do you think is going to happen? You know, it's just like, it's easily solved. And the Patriots are really good at that because the Patriots will be like, look, here's your role. This is what you're going to do. Like, so there's no questions about what it is you're going to do. We don't need you right now. We might at some point. But right now, the plan isn't for you to play all the time. Yeah, if we need you, we'll let you know. And be ready in case we do. But this is your role for now. So that guys know what's expected of them when they show up. It's not that difficult.
It's crazy you never hear them, well, at least publicly, having problems with players.
No.
As far as like complaining about playing time and things like that. I'm sure there's stuff.
Oh, I'm sure stuff comes up and whatnot. But
not publicly, like,
no,
all this stuff with the Steelers.
No, it's crazy. And again, it's one of those situations where I really think the biggest thing about it is Belichick just goes to them and says, look, this is the situation. This is what we expect of you. This is what you should expect. If that's unrealistic for you, then it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, there's no way James Harrison walked into the situation and the Patriots said, yes, you're going to play on every third down. And they're not going to do that. And maybe they feel like he's going to play on every third down.
He might not even play at all.
He may not. I mean? And that's true. I mean, who knows? So we'll see. Malcolm Mitchell just got activated off the IR. People think he might play this weekend. I think they're insane. I think he may not ever make the active roster this year. But in my opinion, I think there's no way anyone else was healthy enough to come back. It doesn't make any sense why the wide receiver came back. They just signed Kenny Britt. It's a weird situation. They seem like they have the most depth at wide receiver than they do at like D-line or linebacker. So it seems like, well, if one of those guys are ready to come back, it would make more sense for those guys to come back. I don't think they're ready yet. I think Mitchell's the only guy ready. And so they brought him back and said, let's see what happens. And if someone gets hurt, they have 3 weeks. So he can practice for 3 weeks. And then they have to make a decision about whether they want to keep him on the active roster or whether they want to, you know, not. And, you know, they don't have to release him, but they can just deactivate him for the rest of the year. So they have 3 weeks of, like, an exception for him moving forward, which is really good. I mean, they can, so they can practice him for 3 weeks, then he's ready. If someone gets hurt, if they're not happy with what they're getting from Britt, they can deactivate Britt and activate Mitchell if they want. You know, who knows? So, but we'll see what happens. So with that. But anyways, I think the biggest story, the biggest team of the year to me is the Celtics. I think the Celtics, all the stuff surrounding the Celtics have gone, in my opinion, clearly they are the number two team in the conversation right now. They're number two, and it's pretty clearly defined, I think. The Red Sox, like we talked about, are boring. There's a lot to hate about the Red Sox right now. They've done nothing to improve over the offseason, and the Celtics just are going up, especially when you factor in Tatum and you factor in, you know, what these guys have been able to do, you know, especially with the limitations. I mean, think about it, right? Since 2017 started, they made the playoffs. IT lost his sister right before the playoffs started. Yeah. He played through it. Then he fucking broke his face, lost two of his teeth, had crazy surgery, played with false teeth in his mouth, like, played through it, made it to the East Conference Finals. Kelly Olynyk had the game of his life in the second round of Game 7 against the Bullets. They had a great series. They won that series. They won a game in Cleveland in the East Conference Finals. And they made the East Conference Finals. What more did you want from them?
It's exactly what we wanted.
It's exactly what we were expecting from them. And then in the meantime, they got the number one pick for the first time in franchise history. Mm-hmm. They then traded that number one pick, picked up another lottery pick, as well as the third pick, drafted the guy who right now looks like far and away the best player in this year's draft. He might not win Rookie of the Year because of Ben Simmons, but he's the best player in this year's draft so far. And they picked up another lottery pick for next year, hopefully. And then they signed Gordon Hayward. And then they traded Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. Like, this team has gone from a scrappy bunch with not a ton of talent to like one of the most talented teams in the NBA. And they've lost Gordon Hayward now for the year on one of the most gruesome injuries you'll ever see. And they're still doing it. They're still number one in the East. They're still one of the best teams in the NBA, and they're getting the shit kicked out of them by Houston tonight, but it's the regular season, so who the hell cares? But it's just, it's one of those things you just look at it and say, they're the team that everybody's talking about right now.
Yeah. Other than the Patriots, they're the number one team, you're right.
Right. You know what I mean? It's just like, and even, I would even say, they almost have as much buzz as the Patriots do right now. Just because I feel like Kyrie, like, it's almost like appointment television. Like, when Kyrie and Tatum are both playing,
yeah,
you're like, I have to watch this game.
Yeah.
Because you never know what Kyrie's going to do. Every time you watch Tatum, you're like, this guy looks like he's been playing in the NBA for 10 years. He's just so seasoned. He's so polished. Some of the moves he makes, you're like, where the hell did that come from? And I mean, the kid's legit. He is absolutely legit. And Kyrie is just on another planet. I mean, you know, both mentally, because he's insane.
Right.
And also,
is that a flat planet or is that a...
I don't know. Well, it's funny because, you know, he made it sound like he was trolling people when he said it was a flat planet. So maybe he doesn't really believe the Earth is flat. I don't know. It's crazy, though. Do you see his new commercial, his new Nike commercial?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, it's hysterical, dude, with him and Gronk and Tatum, and he's, like, doing all sorts of shit, and he's got the Boston Philharmonic in the background. It's just, like, it's so, like, Kyrie. You know what I mean? It's just, like, you know, the guy's, he's crazy. But either way, he's a hell of a lot of fun to watch play basketball.
Oh, yeah.
He's unbelievable with the ball in his hand. He makes great passes. He finishes the basket with these ridiculous moves. You know, and he's a pretty clutch player, too. So this team is a lot of fun to watch. And again, they're the number two team in the market. It's not even close. I don't think the Red Sox are close at three.
Yeah, the Bruins aren't there either.
You know, and
the Revs.
Oh, the Revs. Get out of here. The Revs are like seventh. I think the Cannons might be ahead of them. So the Cannons, by the way, are the lacrosse team, in case you didn't know that.
Not the Blazers anymore, huh? Remember the Blazers?
The
Boston Blazers, yes. Indoor lacrosse.
Good point. Yeah, no, I think the Cannons are the outdoor lacrosse team.
Cannons outdoors,
I think. Yeah. Well, I might be totally wrong about that. But either way, I took a shot in the dark. It sounded right. So let's hope that's right. But either way, yeah, Celtics, man, they're the number two team in the area, I think. You know, and again, not that they're going to push the Patriots. No one pushes. Around here, the Patriots are God. They're a king around here. It's just the way it goes.
Just a couple more years left on that.
Let's hope you're wrong about that, but yeah, you might be right. You might be right. Let's hope you're wrong about that. So,
I don't think they'll ever fall back to like 1990 New England Patriots 1-15.
No, they never will.
Yeah.
No, they, as long as Belichick is the coach and as long as Kraft is the owner, I feel like they'll never fall back to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some really drastic shit would have to happen for them to.
Right.
I mean, I could see them being the Dallas Cowboys in 10 years. Where they're kind of stuck in the middle and they, you know, they fall in love with a quarterback that isn't great and they like a coach who can't really do a great job. I can see that happening.
Right.
But, I mean, the Cowboys are 8-8 every year.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So maybe they're not elite every year, but they're 8-8.
The
10
years that went between the championship against the Eagles and the championship against the Seahawks. You know what I mean? Like, they're in the playoffs every year.
They were disgusting every year.
But, like, you know, they went to a couple of Super Bowls in between that. But, I mean, it wasn't like it was... They're in the Super Bowl every year. They're in the conversation.
Okay, so some crazy stats about the Patriots, okay? Here's the deal with the Patriots. They have, since Brady became the starting quarterback, they have never finished the season not in first place in the division.
Oh, so they've been they've been tied.
In 02, they were tied at 9-7, and in 08, they were tied at 11-5.
Yep.
They have never finished not in first place in the division. Okay? They've won 12 games. I think it's, what, like 8 years in a row or something stupid like that. It's a
record now, yeah.
It's just ridiculous. They've played in 7 straight AFC Championship games. They've played in 7 Super Bowls. I mean, what they've done has been ridiculous. Yeah. And you're right. Those, you know, 10 years or 9 years or however many years it was in between was not great. But, I mean, you look at it. 05, okay, they lost one of the most controversial games ever. 06, they lost in the AFC Championship game. 07, they went undefeated and lost in the Super Bowl. 08, Brady got hurt, and they finished tied for first. 09 was when they got stomped by the fucking Ravens. Yep. 2010 was when they got beat by the Jets. Those are,
which I think was the best Patriots team.
Brady won MVP than, that year. They the were ridiculous. Team, I think. By the way, those are Brady's only 2 one and duns in his career. 2. Manning has 9. In case anyone's keeping count. Yeah. Crazy. Okay. And then 11, they go back to the Super Bowl and lose. Mm-hmm. And then 12, they go to the championship game again. They lost to the Ravens in the AFC Championship game at home. Then 13, they go to the AFC Championship game again and lose in Denver. So even those things in between, that's what, 4 AFC Championship game appearances?
They should
so
it's have like 8 championships.
But it's stupid. I mean, it's really ridiculous when you look at it. You know what I mean? And so, yes, the Patriots weren't great in those 10 years, mm-hmm. but they were still better than pretty much every other team in the NFL. Yeah. So it's, you know, once Belichick leaves, I feel like they can be the Cowboys, where it's like they're in the middle and they're trying to become better, but they're not really ever getting there. But they're never going to be the Browns, which is what they were, you know, in the 60s and 70s. And so, you know, they'll never be at that point again, hopefully. Anyways, quickly for 2018, we'll just kind of run through a few things here quickly, what we kind of see happening. So 2018, I think, well, we'll continue the Celtics stuff here. Hayward's coming back in 2018. 100% sure. Yeah. The only question is whether it's going to be this season or next season. You know, this season obviously would be, you know, still going on in 2018, and the next season will start in 2018. So the question is whether he comes back this year or not. I don't know.
Say yes.
I think so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense, right? And so I think he will. I mean, someone said, I was talking actually to Cousin Evan, and he was saying 12 weeks ago he got hurt. 12 weeks from now is March, and then another 12 weeks is like second round of the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's got 24 weeks from now, and he's already out of his walking boot. I mean, like, you know, you got to imagine it's going to be healed. The only question is if he's mentally ready to come back. I mean, I don't know. There's no way to know until he gets on the floor. Right. You know what I mean? But even if he's not starting, even if he's coming off the bench, imagine how much better the Celtics get with that guy coming off the bench. I mean, he's legit. He's a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so you add that to what the Celtics already have.
He might be going with them their next road trip.
Really?
Yeah.
Shit, dude. I mean, maybe just being around the team would be good for him, you know, and not necessarily, obviously he's not going to be playing yet, but just being around the team, just kind of shooting around a little bit, not really putting any pressure on anything, not pushing himself, just shooting the ball, just literally just shooting the ball, you know, and moving from a chair, shooting in a chair, which he was doing a few months ago, to now shooting while he's standing, not running around or jumping, just shooting. So you never know. You never know. And if Hayward comes back, honestly, I mean, we'll see what Kyrie looks like when he we'll see what Isaiah Thomas looks like when he comes back and plays for Cleveland. Again, Cleveland, if LeBron is there, it's a problem. So, you know, you want to pick the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals against the Cavs. The only question is, will they beat the Cavs? And LeBron is that wild card, man. I mean, he's just so good that he can literally win a series by himself, even against a team like the Celtics, even if they have Hayward. So that's really the question, is can they beat the Cavs? It's the question. It was the question last year. It'll be the question this year. It'll be the question next year if he's still in the East. So, you know.
Which I think he will be. Lakers are a mess. I don't think he's going to go to
LA. The Lakers certainly look like a mess right now, don't they? Yeah. But if he brings along Paul George.
It doesn't matter.
And Russell Westbrook.
There's a lot of baggage it matters. There.
It might. There is a lot of baggage there, but it matters. Trust me.
LeVar. Who wants to deal with him?
But if you get LeBron and Paul George and, say, Russell Westbrook, like, that team is disgusting.
No, yeah.
You know?
I think he's more likely to go to Miami.
Yeah, maybe. You never know. That'd be wild. Yeah. Let's hope not. Because I want him out of the fucking East. Just get him out of the goddamn East, for Christ's sake. let him play the West, and he can play the Rockets every year. And
yeah.
And the Rockets will push him, although they won't because James Harden will quit in the playoffs like he did last year. But nevertheless, we'll see what happens. So anyways, you know, when the Warriors will actually push him, right? So those two will battle it out in the West.
Unless he signs with the Warriors for the veterans minimum. Why not?
Hey, what the hell, right?
He's made enough money.
Why not? Just win every year. That would be ridiculous. That wouldn't even be fair. But anyways.
Ain't first, you last.
That's true. It's a good point, Ricky. anyways. So that's the Celtics. Bruins, we'll see. Make a playoff run. Never know. I think if not this year, I think if they continue the way they're going and these guys keep developing, next year they could be legit. They could be like really legit, like competing for a Stanley Cup legit.
Yeah.
So that will be fun to see. For sure. Dombrowski maybe gets fired next year.
See you later.
Never know. You know, depending on what, now you never know, right? Maybe he brings in JD Martinez and you know, when the young kids start hitting better again and they have bounce back years and Price pitches well and Sale pitches well and Pomerantz pitches well and all of a sudden the Red Sox win the division somehow and who knows what's going to happen, but just the way it looks right now, no one's really happy with Dombrowski. I can't imagine management being happy with Dombrowski. Maybe he gets fired next year. Who knows? We can only dream.
If they think they're going to go out and get Bryce Harper, they're crazy.
Wouldn't that be insane?
He's not going to come here.
Why not?
Why would he? I don't think Boston's a...
Why wouldn't he?
Because Boston isn't what it used to be. Boston's not like a prime spot for a free agent anymore. They players see what we do to these players.
Well, that's
like,
true.
Like, we ruined Carl Crawford. We ruined Adrian Gonzalez. We ruined whatever David Price had in his head.
Right.
He's gone, you know, like mentally.
No, I mean, well.
No one wants to come here.
That is a good point. I mean, that's a very good point about, you know, how it used to be a destination and now it's not really a destination anymore.
Right.
And it's sad. It's sad to think about that it isn't a destination anymore, but maybe you're right. And maybe, you know, it's not a destination. And if it isn't, then.
It really never has been. It's not like they signed. You know,
well, they signed Manny.
Yeah, he's really the one exception.
And Pedro.
No, that was a trade.
They traded for Pedro?
Yep. Every other like great You're player right. they had was a trade. Schilling was a trade. Yeah. Nomar they drafted. Sale was a trade.
Right. No, that's a good point.
Ortiz
good
point. Was a just a.
Like it was a nobody.
Like an invite nobody to spring training.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bryce Harper's not coming here. He's going to Chicago.
Ugh. With Theo, so Theo can win fucking five more championships. But anyways, and then lastly, we'll talk about the Patriots. Patriots, obviously, I said hopefully we'll be in Minnesota. We'll see. Hopefully they are, though. Minnesota is where Super Bowl 52 will be played, in case anyone's wondering. And, you know, there's a lot of questions about next year. You know, how is Brady going to be next year? And there's a lot of people up for contracts. Malcolm Butler is number one on that list. Like, what's going to happen to Malcolm Butler? Nate Solder is up for contract. What's going to happen to him? Is he going to retire? Be with his family. Matt Slater is up for contract. He'll probably stay. Deion Lewis is up for his contract. There's no way Deion Lewis is back next year. Someone is going to pay that man a lot of money.
The Jets will sign him.
A lot of money. I hope not the Jets, because I like Deion Lewis, and you know, the Jets will just fucking ruin him. But then you also have Rex Burkhead, who's up too. So, you know, and Brandon Bolden, who is a running back.
He's still around?
Yeah, he's still on the team. Still on the team. How crazy is that?
How many times has he been cut? Like twice
a
year?
I know, dude. I know. It's crazy. And then Cam Fleming and Adrian Waddle, who are both right now the two right tackles that you have. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But there's a lot of people that are up for contract next year. One of them, Danny Amendola, also up for contract next year. I don't know if he'll be back or not. He signed with Ford Models this year. He's the first NFL player in the history of the NFL to sign a modeling deal while under contract. And you've got to assume, I mean, at least to me, at least, I assume that it's because he's already thinking about his life after football, meaning he's retiring after this year. That might not be true, but that's what I think.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Better run as a Patriot, Welker or Amendola?
Oh, shit, that's a good question.
Numbers-wise, you got to give it to Welker.
Number-wise, 100% you have to give it to Welker. But the problem is...
He's still number one in catches for the Patriots, I think.
He might be, because he had like 100 catches a year, 7 years in a row. And seven's an exaggeration. But, I mean, honestly, I think you'd have to say Amendola, wouldn't you? I mean, I know numbers-wise, it's not in his favor, but look at the catches that Amendola has made for the Patriots. He has two, count them, two touchdowns in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Both of them to pull within one score. Yeah. Okay? He scored the tying two-point conversion in this year's Super Bowl to send the game to overtime. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and the myriad of huge catches he's had. He had the catch from Edelman in 2014 in the Ravens game.
Yeah.
He's had some massive catches, you know, on fourth downs, in huge moments and big plays. And really, Welker, honestly, the thing about it is that if you can boil Welker's time in New England down to one play, and that's the drop in 2011. And it's not fair to do that. It's really not. It's not fair to Welker to do that because Welker was a great player, and he played really well here for a long time. He'll be a
Patriots Hall of Famer, I think.
He'll probably be a Patriots Hall of Famer. Yeah. You're right about that. But again, if you could boil his entire career in New England down to one single play.
That's kind of the lasting image. It's him, like, twisting in midair.
Isn't it? I mean, yeah. It really is. You know, it's because when the game was on the line, when the biggest moment was on the line, the biggest moment in his career, he dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. And Amendola has never done that. Every single time his number is called.
Since he's been here, and that first year he was injured
right
for like half the year, but since then he's been the most consistent wide receiver they've had.
Without a doubt. He's the best hands on the team. He's the best hands outside of Gronk. He has the best hands on the team. Mm-hmm. He's unbelievable. You throw the ball in his direction, he's going to catch it no matter where it is.
Even when Edelman's healthy, right. I think Amendola has been more consistent.
Well, you know, you look at it, and the biggest plays, where does he go? He always goes to Amendola. Mm-hmm. In the Super Bowl, it was 4th and 3. Who did he throw to? Amendola. That's his guy. When the game's on the line, he's going to Danny. And I really feel like, I mean, shoot, numbers-wise, it's not close. I mean, Welker's got way more catches than him.
Yeah.
Probably more yards. But overall, what he's done for the team, the way he's performed in the biggest moments, I'd say you'd have to go with Amendola. It's a hell of a question, though. It's a great question. So,
remember that was a debate?
That was a big debate. Yeah. A huge debate. And, and a debate that I was on the wrong side of because I was pissed they were getting rid of Welker. And most people were. And I think rightfully so. I think people were pissed that Welker was leaving and we were just letting him walk.
And to Denver, too. Because at the time, that was an arms race.
Oh, shit, dude. And that first year, they were ridiculous that first year. Mm-hmm. And people thought that, you know, that the Welker thing had a lot to do with it. And it did. Welker was good that year. But shit, did they make the right call? God damn. I mean, that was really the only good year that he had in Denver. I mean, he was all right the next year. But that was really the only really good year that he had in Denver. So, you know, kudos to Bill for moving on at the right time and then finding Amendola. And shit, Amendola? I mean, kudos to Amendola. He's had a big deal. And he's taken a pay cut every single year for the past, like, 3 or 4 years to stay here because he enjoys playing here. And he's playing with Tom Brady. And he's best friends with Edelman. And So, see, to me, I think the Edelman factor could factor in him playing one more year.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't get to play with Edelman this year, and maybe he says, I really have to play with Edelman again. Maybe I'll sign for one more year, play another year because I want to play with Julian. Maybe not, but I think that might weigh on him a little bit. So we'll see. You know, we'll see what happens with the Patriots. But I think, honestly, I think the future is bright for pretty much every Boston team right now. Except maybe the Red Sox. But even the Red Sox have good young players.
Yeah, they do. They just...
they don't have as many as the Yankees.
I just think they need to just progress every year. I think Mookie had a down year. Bogarts had a down year. Jackie Bradley kind of had a down year as well. So I think we'll see what happens next year. But
I think the biggest thing...
Ortiz is missing. That's it.
That's the biggest thing that they somehow underestimated the impact that Ortiz had on the team.
I don't know how they underestimated that. It's just
so stupid. I mean, really dumb. You know, when you look at it, and you say, maybe you said...
they thought they had Hanley.
Well, which is stupid.
Yeah.
To rely on Hanley Ramirez to be your guy is crazy. But, you know, but again, you look at it and say, okay, who is the guy? Like, who is the... and you're never going to replace Ortiz as far as team leader and face the franchise. You're never going to do that, right? And They've tried to do that with Benintendi. They tried to do that with Betts. And I think overall, moving forward, those two guys are going to be the face of the franchise, Betts and Benintendi. I really do. And I know you're not as high on Benintendi as I am. But
not yet.
But, you know, but we'll see. But I think that that's what they want to do. He's got the hair. He's got the flow going. People like him. You know, Betts, I think, is a better overall player as the numbers bear out. But, you know, I think those two guys are going to be the face of the franchise. You know, but they're missing that power bat. There's no one was afraid of anybody in that lineup last year. That's what
you need. You need a guy that's, you know, pitchers pitch around.
Right, 100%. Yeah. Because then Betts gets better pitches.
Yeah.
If the next guy up is David Ortiz, it's like, well, okay, we can't let Betts get on base because Ortiz is behind him. So we have to get him out. We can't just walk him. We have to get him out. So that means we're going to have to throw the ball over the plate. Mm-hmm. So now Betts is going to get pitches to hit because pitchers can't get too cute with them because then they got to deal with Ortiz next. So, you know, having that guy behind you is hugely important for you because they have to pitch to you. You're seeing better pitches because the guy behind you is a really good hitter. And so that's why, to me, J.D. Martinez, if he's the best guy out there and it looks like he is, then they better freaking go get him. Because if he doesn't come back here, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on. It's a really slow-moving year this year.
It's really slow. A lot of the top free agents haven't even been signed.
Right. And so that's the real question to me is when they start signing, where is he going to go? If he goes anywhere but here, I'm going to be pissed about it. Because, again, he should be the guy that kind of makes that move.
Well, it's a fit.
It is.
It's a fit for both
parties. It certainly seems like it, doesn't it? And so, you know, so we'll see. And I know Chris hated on me last week because I was saying that I thought JBJ was a fourth outfielder on like a really, really good team. I know Jackie Bradley, I think, is a very good player. He's your eighth, ninth hitter for sure.
Yeah, he's your ninth hitter. You put him in center field, and he makes, you know, solid catches.
He makes great catches. He's a good, you know, he's a Gold Glove player, even though he wasn't up for a Gold Glove last year. Mm-hmm. He's a Gold Glove center fielder for the most part. But he's hitting 240, and he'll hit you 20 home runs. So he has some pop, but it's very inconsistent, wildly inconsistent. And honestly, I think having him on the bench would be – it's obviously a luxury. I'm not saying he's a bench guy. I'm just saying if you bring in J.D. Martinez and you can't move Jackie Bradley, well, then you move either Betts or Benintendi to center, and you lose some defensively. You absolutely lose some defensively. I understand that. But your best outfield is J.D. Martinez, Andrew Benintendi, and Mookie Betts. That's not really a question, I don't think.
Right.
So, you know, so we'll see. We'll see what happens, but I think that's the move that they have to make is J.D. Martinez. So we'll see. But anything else you want to add about 2018 or 2017 or anything else like that?
Penguins don't do a three-peat.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be really difficult to do. Three in a row? Holy shit, man. Yeah. That's fucking Michael Jordan territory right there. But three in a row would be awfully difficult. But, yeah, you never know. But I think it's a good call. So, well, I know here from us, at least, this is episode 34. We've done 34 of these. We thank everybody for listening. It's been a lot of fun. I just want to kind of shoot through some of the people we've had on. So we had on Artie and Dave and Cousin Evan, who, by the way, Cousin Evan back at episode 13 was when Cousin Evan was on. And he said that if you're going to only bet one thing this year, to bet the Los Angeles Rams to win the NFC West 25-1 odds. That means if you had put $10 on the Rams to win the division at the beginning of the year, you would have won $250. It means if you had put $100 on it, okay, we can keep playing this game. But you get the idea, okay? You're an idiot for not doing it. He's an idiot for not doing it because his stupid friend said don't do it, and he didn't freaking listen to himself. So imagine that. Imagine the irony there. He didn't even listen to himself. So, but we had them on. They've been guest hosts with us. We really appreciate that. Gabrielle and Joe from WTP, they were also guest hosts, so we appreciate them coming on as well. We had Artie Januario, the comedian Artie Januario, on with us, so that was awesome. Dale from Eat Sleep Fantasy, that's a great fantasy football podcast who we may actually be teaming up with next year. We'll have some more details about that. Later on, as the football offseason progresses, at least. We had Clem from Barstool. We had Dan Greenberg from Barstool. We had Adam Kaufman from WBZ and 98.5 The Sports Hub. And matter of fact, we talked about with him about whether losing Hayward was actually a good thing for the young guys, even though obviously not great for the team, but it's good for the young guys to get you know, some extra playing time and some extra looks right now. And, you know, it seems like that's been benefiting Tatum for sure. We had Michael Hurley on, which was awesome. We had Phil Perry on last week. That was a great show. And last, but certainly not least, we also had the great Jose Canseco on the show as well. That was great. As a matter of fact, that was episode 13 as well, one we did with Artie and Cousin Evan. That was a hell of an episode. So that was a lot of fun. Great interview. Maybe we'll get Jose on the phone again. You never know. You never know what's going to happen.
He's always on call.
He is. It's true.
He's very like helpful with that.
You know? He is. He's yeah. Like, I mean, shit. You open. Know, you give him a call and maybe he answers. Maybe he doesn't. But who knows? You know. So yeah. So, but thank you for listening. We appreciate it. Thank you for making 2017 good for us.
Yep.
Hope it was good for you. It kind of sucked for the world and the country, but you know, it was fun. And hopefully 2018 is even better than 2017 was. And again, we're
going to be high. Let's not screw this up.
Good point. Yeah. 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 We'll see. So, again, we're going to leave you with a 5.5 minute, montage of the entire Boston sports of 2017. It is fucking goosebumps everywhere, and hopefully you'll really enjoy it. And so we don't have the normal outro from MDOT. We're not giving you This Week in Sports History. I'm not even doing a movie this week, okay? We're just going to let it ride. We're going to give you the long montage because we're already over time, and we know you want to get the hell out of here. So listen to the montage. Enjoy yourself, and we'll see you in 2018.
19! Toss to White. He's in! Patriots win the Super Bowl! Brady has his fifth! What a comeback!
8 poignant moments from earlier today on the floor at the Garden in Boston. Isaiah Thomas consoled by his close friend Avery Bradley, still trying to cope with the tragic loss of his 22-year-old sister Chyna just yesterday. And a moment of silence here at the Garden and tears streaming down the face of Isaiah Thomas. He will play.
Thomas, it goes! Caps off a remarkable night for Isaiah Thomas. 53 points. And Boston has run away with it. Celtics victorious in overtime. Epic performance from Isaiah Thomas. Kelly Olynyk can do no wrong. Thomas the jab step. Olynyk a three. Oh, Kelly Olynyk! The game of his life! The Boston Celtics survive and advance to the Eastern Conference Finals.
He was good. He's not the best pitcher in the American League. Chris Sale arguably is, was, has been.
He puts him away quickly. Strikeout number one. And got him. Nasty. Back to that slider. And the 0-2. Down he goes.
The number one pick in the 2000 NBA draft goes to the Boston Celtics.
Huge shakeup at the top of the draft this weekend. The Celtics deciding, nope, they don't need Markelle Fultz. The Sixers deciding, well, thank you very much, we will take him.
With the third pick in the 2017 NBA draft, the Boston Celtics select Jason Tatum from Duke University.
For the Boston Celtics, this is now back-to-back years. Al Horford last year, Gordon Hayward this year. They've started to establish themselves again as a destination franchise.
Who won the trade? The answer is the Celtics, because if the history of the NBA has taught us anything in terms of trades, it's that the team that wins the trade is the team that gets the best player in the deal. Kyrie is the best player in this deal with the potential to get even better.
Extend the inning.
3-1. High fly ball left center field. Going back, Zimmer turning around. She's gone! It's gone! The Red Sox walk it off! You've got to be kidding me!
There you go.
The 21 now. And off to West. Wow. And West breaks free into the end zone. He goes for a touchdown. To Kendrick West. Ripping through the New England D, and that's 535 yards tonight.
Brady, pump. Brady rifles to the corner. Oh, it's caught! Touchdown! Brandon Cooks! Incredible!
Tom Brady delivers in the clutch.
Breaking news. That breaking news is involving baseball and John Carroll, manager of the Boston Red Sox, now out. That according to the team.
Got to probably hit the biggest shot in Cavs history.
They're going up. Oh, my goodness. Hayward came down so hard. Okay. Hayward broke his leg. Hayward has broken his leg.
And the Celtics get their first win of the season. Nice comeback by Boston in this game.
2:37 to go. Under out of bounds. Kyrie catch and score off the window and the foul. And the Boston Celtics have come from 17 down to beat the defending world champion Golden State Warriors. They have won their 14th game in a row.
Boston's got numbers on the break. Throwing it up. Tatum. Tie game.
We're going to overtime.
Kyrie Irving showing why it's his world.
And beyond imagination, the Celtics conjure a comeback for the ages, and they have won their 16th consecutive game.
He's played very good hockey in all games he's played, you know, and the past two especially, you know, letting in one more game. And, you know, you play a game like L.A., I think it's very reasonable that he gets another start because the way we played and the way he played, and you know, I have no issue with that. I said that in San Jose, that if I was a coach, I would have done the same thing.
The Bruins clear. Anton Hudobin does it again.
Tatum to the basket.
I don't want to overreact to a rookie, but sit back, strap on your seatbelt.
Well, Charlie McAvoy on his birthday.
A good chance Connor Hellebuck doesn't have a book on him.
McAvoy in on Hellebuck. McAvoy fires, scores! And the Boston Bruins will defeat the Winnipeg Jets in a shootout.
Here he goes, third down play. Fakes the spike, still has it, now fires, and it's intercepted! It's intercepted to save the game by Harmon, and the Patriots are going to win it! Absolutely amazing!